For most loving, ever merciful, ever teaching, ever providing, eternal Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Father, we do pray for thy kingdom to come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we look to thee again in prayer, coming to our precious Lord, our all. We come to thee, Father, thanking thee for this precious truth that we have. Thank thee, Father, that thou made it possible for us to be here today. And we pray, Father, that thou not be with us the remainder of this day, but with all thy true children world over. And Father, we pray especially for those under special need, as thou seest our special need this day. We pray, Father, that thou bless the one to lead our study today. Bless his heart and his mind, that he may lead and direct under thy direction. So we may all be refreshed thereby. And bless all of our minds, Father, that we may join in and add to this study and make it a prosperous spiritual nourishment from thy table, as thou hast served the Father for that wise and faithful servant. We ask these blessings, Father, and give you many, 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 many thanks in this most precious, most holy name. Amen.
My dear friend, Sister Barbara Jones will lead us in the manor.
Walk not in rioting and drunkenness. Romans 13:13. Some have an intoxication for money, wealth, others an intoxication for business, others for dress, others for music, others for art. But as the Lord's people who have gotten a glimpse of the new day and the great work of God which is to be accomplished in that day, our hearts should be so absorbed in the work of God that these matters, which would be thought proper enough and right enough in others, rule the people, because they are not awake as we are, and because they see not the future as we see it, should be far from our conception and course. Let us walk not in rioting and drunkenness, Romans 13:15.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. This sounds kind of I don't know the word to use, but let us walk not in rioting and drunkenness. What is our understanding of this rioting and drunkenness? Anybody like to come in on this?
Well, we know that we're not speaking drunkenness and alcoholic beverages. We know that, but we shouldn't eat drunkenness in the spirit of the world. Worthiness. That's what that tells me.
Any other comments?
Well, the rioting might refer to rebelling against them. Condition. We know that what's happening is that the Lord is tearing down the present evil world, and we're not to riot against that.
I think those are both good comments. I think a word that I would use in connection with these would be not to be frivolous. Not, I don't know if that's a proper word.
think in the comments too, the thought was that we can have specific intoxications. In other words, I think Brother the comments did touch on it, but specifically we might be intoxicated with, for example, money, or power, or pride, or position, and we can bend our energies toward that end. We can get so engrossed in doing this that we can get completely involved and lose sight of the real true walk in the Lord. In other words, walking in the footsteps of the Lord. I think that sometimes it can come on us subtly. We may think of an intoxication for money, for example, as something that would be all of a sudden indicating our avarice, but that's not so. It can come on us gradually. And we can be intoxicated with strange doctrines, which we did find that, you know, the Babylonian woman did make the world drunk with her wines and false doctrines. So I think these things can come. It's not written for the world. It's written for the Lord's people. And it's written that we be not ensnared and intoxicated in this manner. So we can be intoxicated with false doctrines or with some labors that we might want to engage in and think that this is the thing to do, and we find ourselves totally engrossed in that avenue of work, maybe neglecting our own development. So intoxication can take many forms.
Thank you. Well, we won't go out too long on that. Mr. Frank Garrison will read now the morning resolve.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace and help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's existing grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interest, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance and joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine what the large providence may permit, because faith and firmly trust him come with me.
Thank you. Sister Dorothy Weber will read the vow.
My vow to the Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, thy will be done in my mortal body. Rely now the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember the throne of heaven and grace. The general interest of the harvest work, particularly the share which I myself have studied for enjoying that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, to scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings, through the intent that I may be the better neighbor to Cersei and my dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist every nuisance, experiences, and opportunities, remembering that there are but the two masters. I shall resist these snares of all nations and ways as they may be adversaries. I further vow that with the exception of King Rose, I will at all times and at all places conduct myself for those who do not suspect in private exactly as they would do in public in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the houses which belong, unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brother.
Thank you.
Dear friend, it goes without saying that you are very welcome, and we are very happy that you have braved the kind of weather to come to this study. And so we're going to turn the media over to Brother Stan and begin the study.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Well, we're happy to be here. I'm sure all of you are. And we have the blessing of the Lord outside and inside both today. So we're grateful to the Lord for his many blessings, spiritual and temporal. Without the Lord, we're nothing, really, but the dust of the earth. So we have much to be thankful for. And I guess we should bring you the love and greetings of Sister Bonnie. And I guess Sister Freddie Polly also wanted to be remembered to you.
Sister Barbara Mellon.
Sister Bob and Ellen.
Barbara Mellon.
Barbara Mellon.
And Kenneth Williams.
Kenneth Williams.
Wanted to especially be remembered and hope that we'd be richly blessed for the Holy Spirit. I told you how you want to be.
Sister Kim Ireland?
Esther Rice.
Esther Rice.
And Tim Myers wanted to be specially remembered.
Thank you, and Brother Liver.
We want to bring the blessings for Sister Rose, for the Bob, the Bobby, the rest of our class. They want to be specially remembered to all of you here today. They couldn't be here, so they want to remember. And Sister Rose's dad also.
Thank you. We appreciate all the messages of love and wishes for the Lord's Spirit. You know, these are not just idle words. These are the words of the children of the Lord. And these concerns, these loving expressions are very much a part of the life of the true Christian, of the sons of God. And we can see how distance is transcended. Nearly have it from thousands of miles away, and it just transcends all of these things, and it's always, I think, a loving gesture to express one's wishes and concerns for the brethren. And I think the Lord is pleased with these thoughts. Our subject is prayer. And the basis of our study, of course, is found in the reprint 1905. There are three studies that were outlined there for us. And there are 10 of the questions in each study. And we thought we might use them as a basis for starting our discussion and then expand on them as we have the thoughts come to our mind. And one of the best ways to have a meeting is to have everybody take part in it. You're amongst friends, and your comments should be from the heart, and should be as the Lord gives us to speak, because the body is, you know, nourished by that which every joint supplies. And the Lord so arranged it this way, that the eye has, can't say that he has no need of the hand, and the hand has no need of the foot, and so forth and so on. So we all want to the extent that the Lord gives us, to make our comments. Now, one of the first questions that was asked is, what is prayer? Does anybody have any thought as to what is prayer, Brother Clarence?
In reprint 2251, titled, After This Manner We Pray, and it says, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered and unexpressed, says the poet. And he says truly, for the scriptures inform us that God is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And again, that in the case of the saints, the spirit of atonement, penance, is accepted by the Lord when we approach him in season of distress, and when we can find no longer in which to clothe our feeling or desire. And so it says that whether we express it or don't express it, the Heavenly Father reaches the heart, the mind of the saints. And sometimes maybe we may be in a position where we can't outwardly or loudly pray to Heavenly Father. And we may be very sick in bed, or be in a situation where we can't do it, but he reads the heart, so we can express it, expressed and unexpressed. Our heart feeding upon our Lord, our heart thanking our Heavenly Father for the blessings he's given us, the truth, the strength he gives us each day, which is nothing without it. He's saying in our opening hymn. So these are things that we need to do. So this is what I want to share as much. And also Matthew 6, 5 through 15.
Thank you. Anyone else have a thought? Brother Wayne?
Well, my comment is also from the reprint, but I don't have the number. The pastor said, prayer is an attempt to commune with the Heavenly Father.
Yes, it's really, as it has been put, a lifeline, isn't it? It's where we get all of our sustenance. And it's a way in which we, well, maybe I better not say it. Somebody else have a comment, we'll bring it out if it isn't brought out. Thank you, Sister.
Well, I was thinking Harrison, of how you were describing the spaceship and the man who got out and he had an umbilical cord connecting him to the spaceship. Well, that kept him alive, and that's how prayer is begun.
Yes, it's really our lifeline, isn't it? Our sustenance comes from the Lord, and we can come into his presence to obtain that which he is willing to give us. Well, it's an umbilical cord. It's the way a child in prenatal birth gets its sustenance from its mother through an umbilical cord. And we likewise, Brother Clarence.
Like another comment that the pastor made, that when we're hungry, we eat food. And same thing, when we're spiritually hungry, we come to the Father for our spiritual nourishment. So first thing we do is come to him, to our Lord, the throne of precious throne of grace, that he gives us this privilege. Only us, only the saints have this privilege. What a blessed thing that is. The world, they say they pray, but the Father doesn't hear them. It's not time for them, see. So we're so privileged, we can come to him. He's always listening. Only the Father, but our Lord. And so here we come to the two most powerful, most loving, most generous beings in the universe. And they're always listening to our prayers. We begin our day with that. We begin our spirit nourishment that way. We continue through the day that. We close our day with that. That's our nourishment. Day and night, just when we get hungry, we go to the table and have something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Barber?
And one of the definitions that the dictionary gives is it's a plea, so that would imply that Humility will be required in prayer. We must be humble, not demanding.
It's an entreaty to God, isn't it? A humble entreaty, I might say, or any, as you brought up, any spiritual communion that we have with God. Did anybody happen to look up in Strong's Concordance? Do you have any thoughts on what Strong says about it? Sister Barbara?
Well, I can't remember, but it was on the same order, but I should have written it down, but I didn't. It was on the same order of entreaty or plea or supplication or, you know, that sort of thing. But I actually didn't.
It even involves the worship, doesn't it? In other words, the worship of God. It can be by a hymn, even by implication. It is a hymn according to Strong. So prayer can take these forms, but in essence it is our supplication to God, our intercession. So we're humbly entreating God. And it's the way, by the way,
Brother Fowler used to say with him, our prayers, such a music.
Such a music. It's an attempt to gain access to God, to the presence of God. In other words, we do come into God's hallowed presence by this means. And as a matter of fact, we read that the Apostle Paul was caught up into the heavens. His mind was brought into the presence of the Lord under the situation. And as has been stated, let's read Romans 8:26. And I think Matthew 6, 6, 7, and 8. Does somebody want to read those scriptures for us?
Take Romans.
Matthew 6, 6, 7, and 8.
Romans 8, 26. Yes. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
So here we have, in harmony with the uttered or unexpressed, the Spirit makes intercession. In other words, God is able to know even aforetime our particular soul's desires. In Matthew 6, 6, 7, and 8.
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
So we'll expand a little more on this as we get into our study, but in any way, here is the manner in which this prayer is effected, isn't it? It's done in secret. The things that we pray for are not primarily temporal things, but the Lord knows what we have need of, and he has promised us, hasn't he, that our bread and water would be sure. Sister,
can prayer also be defined as thanksgiving? Because when we see, for instance, if we claim a precious promise, and we may be having a very severe trial, and we claim a precious promise, and we're watching and praying, and we're waiting to see the answer, and it comes in such a beautiful way, should we just go our way and ignore it? Prayer can also be an immediate going to the Lord with praises and thanksgiving.
Very much so. In fact, that's one of the purposes of prayer, Sister Helen and Sister Barbara.
Well, I just wanted to add to Sister Betty's comment that it says, enter the courts of the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Isn't that one of the Psalms? Which one is
yes.
I'm not sure, but it's one of them here. I was going to look it up.
What do we have to be thankful for while we're on the subject?
in connection with the verses from Leviticus, I always try to remember to give thanks to the Heavenly Father, like when we take a journey here, that we have completed our journey in safety. I think that's certainly a prayer for me too.
Very definitely, and Brother Wayne.
Well, what takes you to? One of the, I think, the primary thing that we have to be thankful for is the existence itself. The fact that we have an existence. Without having the existence, we'd never have a hope of the high calling, an opportunity for the high calling. Thank you again.
And a thankfulness to learn the truth and to be able to discuss the truth as we do.
Very definitely. I think we could spend hours saying what we can be thankful for, Sister Frances.
Well, I was just thinking that what I one of the main things I'm thankful for is the provision that He has made for our taking away the spots and wrinkles from our robe, because we don't know nearly the spots and wrinkles that we get on it and blemishes. But He wipes them all away when we ask Him to.
So thanksgiving is very much in order to our Heavenly Father in our prayers, in our communications with Him. I think He appreciates the attitude of gratitude in His children just as much as we do in our children when we do something for them and they appreciate it. And I think it's very much appreciated by the parents. Do you have a thought here, Sister?
Isn't there a scripture in everything give thanks?
Yes, very definitely.
You ask, what should we give thanks for? In everything give thanks. And there's another one here, but I haven't read it.
Go ahead. Clear.
Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father.
We're going to get a little more into what we should pray for and so forth and so on, and some of these things are going to come out a little more. So basically, prayer we can define as an humble entreaty to God and supplication to God. And it can take various forms and include various things. In other words, our souls sincere desire. Brother Weber?
I think of a discourse that Brother Andrews Sr. gave to us in one of our conventions. He said, well, it was on prayer. He says, the morning of your mind is if you're on your job while you're praying, you might as well not pray. Because Heavenly Father wants your attention. He wants your heart. You have to be in the right heart attitude. As those that came to burning bushes, they take off your shoes, you're on the
hallowed ground.
He says, we must be in the attitude of spirit in prayer before we start our prayer. Otherwise, we're not satisfied with your Father. We're praying like the world does, thinking other things where we're just making much of words. So we need to be fully in the intuition.
At this time, the tape was turned over.
A supplication to God. And it can take various forms and include various things. In other words, our soul's sincere desire. Brother Weber?
I think of a discourse that Brother Andrews Sr. gave to us in one of our conventions. He said, well, it was on prayer. He says, the morning of your mind is if you're on your job while you're praying, because you might as well not pray. Because Heavenly Father wants your attention. He wants your heart. You have to be in the right heart attitude. As those that came to the burning bushes, they take off your shoes, you're on hallowed ground. He says, we must be in the attitude of spirit in prayer before we start our prayer. Otherwise, we're not satisfied with your Father. We're praying like the world does, thinking other things where we're and just making much of words. So we need to be fully in tune, fully in spirit, and fully in attitude. Everything else blocked out, that's prayer.
Very good. I think all these conditions apply, and they're necessary to have effectual and fervent prayer. Sister Dorothy?
And we also are thankful for the peace of mind that our Lord provides for us, and the rest and the happiness we have. And He takes the bitter from life for us, because that's one of the only evil that's around us in our flesh and the battles of life.
As grateful to have this legacy of the Lord, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but as the Heavenly Father does. We had another question here. What is the privilege and power of prayer? Sister Helen?
Well, it's a personal audience and communion with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we consider how great is our God, His station, how wonderful, the condescension that He regards our low estate, His eye never slumbers, nor can the smallest thing escape His notice. Are not we the creatures of His hand, fearfully and wonderfully made?
So it really is a privilege, and there's much power associated with prayer, isn't there? Who would like to comment in that vein, Brother Wayne?
On the power of prayer, I recall many years ago when I was first coming to the truth, Brother Ed Fay gave a discourse once, and in it he said, if you find that you have bitter feelings towards someone, pray for that person by name, and you will find that it will sweeten your heart. So, prayer has the ability to sweeten our heart.
Yes, it's. I think that's a good thought, because generally when you make it personal that way, it has the tendency to melt away any bitterness that we have. Brother Clarence?
I would like to bring in Luke 18, 1-8 here, part of it. It says, Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that man ought to always to pray and not to faint. And that's in Reprint 1864, the title of The Privilege and Power of Prayer, the title of that reprint.
Thank you. How about the one whom we are approaching? Is it a privilege?
We're struck with awe when we consider. I often think of this, and that's why we want to kneel in prayer, because we feel what a great personage this God of ours is, and to think that we are being taken into His hallowed presence. And this really makes us feel humble and so appreciative of what a wonderful privilege. But, you know, I was contrasting this with sometimes when you're in an audience or when you hear them pray, like in Congress when they open up and everything, I think, well, you know, these long prayers that they sometimes have a whole notebook or a paper full, and they lack that appreciation of being in the hallowed presence of God. I think it almost seems as if they're giving out a message to the people rather than approaching God. I think there's a great difference in the way the true Christian feels when he approaches God, because he realizes he's right in His presence, whereas those who just say, some are just merely words.
Somebody look up 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. Read that for us.
I have a brother.
Would you read it, please?
1 Timothy 6:15. 15 and 16. Who in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
This is our great God, as we are coming into the presence of. And I think we have to recognize this, because we hear the psalmist saying, the God, what is man, or who is man that thou art mindful of him? Of all the creation of the Lord that He has made, and here, humble man, and He is even willing to have man come into His presence, you see. And particularly man, as we are speaking of it here in the son relationship, the father and son relationship. So this privilege is one of very, very high order, approaching the greatest power in the universe. He who has created us. Doesn't this give us a sense of privilege that we have of coming to him in prayer, Sister Betty?
And isn't it true that, like in Congress, they don't have the privilege of prayer? It's only those that have come into covenant relationship with the Lord that gives us that privilege.
That's true. The Lord may hear it, but he doesn't really respond to it in the way in which they're asking for it, does he?
In reprinted 2004, says the privilege of prayer which God has provided for his people is one of the greatest bonus imaginable. Let us therefore come boldly, courageously, faithfully, assuredly to the throne of grace. Because if we don't have faith that he'll answer us, then we might well not come to prayer, because he looks at our hearts, reading our mind again now, and along with what we're saying. And if we're faithful, we have the faith in the Heavenly Father, we come boldly and know that he hears us, know that he will answer us in his way, according to his wisdom, at his time. I think that's important.
So there is much power there for mercy.